And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. It's 7 minutes past nine on this Tuesday, the 20th of February, 2024. How are you all doing? I hope you're very well indeed. And you're with us now for the next 2 hours and 50 minutes. Lots coming up on the show, lots of different things to keep you informed and entertained. I do hope. And the lines are open for you to get involved in the conversation if there's something you want to talk about, something you want to pass on. If you want to play a request or dedication, that's all good too, you know. 086 60 25 000 is the WhatsApp and text number. 086 60 25 000, or you can give us a call on 074 91 25 000. If you're listening, as many of you do, outside the Republic, then it's 00353. You drop the first O and continue with the number there. If you want to email us from anywhere in the world, of course, it's comments@highlandradio.com, and you engage with us too on our social media, because we broadcast live across Facebook, Highland Hub, Highland Radio News and Sport, on X at Highland Radio, and on YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland. And on YouTube, you can watch us on your smart TV or your Fire Stick. Right, so as you heard in the news there, the situation at RT continues to rumble on. And if I'm looking at the papers, it's a story I simply can't ignore. And why would I? The Irish Independent: former RT executives will now be asked if they will allow details of their exit payments to be revealed by RTE's boss, Kevin Backhurst. The new director general insisted he would not resign over exit payments made to staff who left RTE, such as former director of strategy, Rory Coveney, who resigned and got a payment in the region of €200,000 last year. Now, he had 16 years of service, Mr. Coveney. And Kevin Backhurst was of the view that his job, the loss on Toy Show the Musical, that wasn't a sackable offence. So he had no way of getting him out of the building unless they agreed on his departure. €200,000 of bye-bye money, which is nice, isn't it? Mr. Coveney had a leading role in Toy Show the Musical, which cost the taxpayer £2.3 million. Questions are now being raised about the other exit package given to key executives who left the broadcaster in recent months. Now, if this was your own money or it was a private company, you quite simply couldn't make these types of payments, could you? But this is the public's money, really. At least half of it, I suppose, if you want to break it down, half commercial, half taxpayer. Media Minister Catherine Martin said she told Mr. Backhurst in a meeting yesterday to speak to those former executives and ask if they would waive their rights. Now, there is another exit package that he actually agreed, of which we don't know any details of. There's no speculation whatsoever. So he's saying, I've never been asked in all of my working life to break the law. But that being said, it was he that agreed with a former employee on an exit package and confidentiality. So it was under his stewardship. So this is not a fresh brush. This is the new brush creating the problems. Any views on that, let us know. What percentage of learner drivers who had a conviction for driving and were supposed to hand in their licences, what percentage of learner drivers who were disqualified surrendered their licence? Okay, so what percentage would you say? Would you be surprised if it was 50%, 60%, maybe even 35%? Well, less than 5%. This is in the Irish Times. Less than 5% of those told to hand over their learner permit following a conviction for a road traffic offence complied with the law last year, according to official data. In response to a parliamentary question from Social Democrats TD Catherine Murphy, the junior minister at the Department of Transport, Jack Chambers, said that a total of 1,892 people driving on learner permits had been disqualified in 23. Only 70 had surrendered their licences. Some 571 drivers on learner permits with addresses in Dublin were disqualified. Just 22 surrendered their licence. 111 in Tipperary before the courts. Only three handed in their permits. I'm not sure if there's any figures for Donegal there. I glanced through the article earlier, but I didn't. But how do so many people, like how do 95% of people who were told in court that you must surrender their licence, how many of them sort of, how can so many of them go, well, I don't really need to do that. There's no consequences. I would have thought, like, if 5% didn't, it would be a shocking figure. But the fact that 95% don't surrender their licence, how do they all know that they can do it and get away with it? That's what I find remarkable about the whole road traffic legislation. Are they told by people with legal knowledge that, by the way, you know, if you need that for ID or whatever, you don't actually have to surrender it? Like, how do they know? Anyway, for those of us legally on the road, there are ongoing calls for petrol and diesel prices to increase. Now, petrol at the moment, petrol and diesel can range from anywhere from 158 to 171. There's a massive variance across the county. It really is quite remarkable. But it does seem to be edging up a little bit because of markets. Now, built into that are carbon taxes already. We shouldn't really, some would argue, be paying as much as we are. But according to the Mail, the price of petrol and diesel will need to increase in Ireland if Ireland is to meet its carbon emissions reduction targets, the chief of the Climate Watchdog has said. The Climate Change Advisory Council yesterday said it was concerned, despite progress in some sectors, that it was unlikely that the first carbon budget will be met. The CCAC noted the transport emissions grew by 6% in 2022. And that this sector was a major concern. It said, while some indicators are positive, including a welcome increase in public transport journeys and sales of electric vehicles, motor, petrol and road diesel sales continue to increase and large conventional petrol and diesel vehicles continue to take up a large percentage of sales. But what are we supposed to do in Donegal? We don't have alternatives. I don't drive for the fun of it. Do any of you out there drive for the fun of it? Maybe you do go out for a Sunday drive. I don't know. I'm not sure if that's really a cultural thing that we do. I certainly don't drive unless I need to drive. I currently couldn't afford the infrastructure or the outlay to get an electric vehicle. And there's lots of people that actually do need the larger vehicle as well, larger families. Maybe they work in agriculture, whatever it might be. But be that as it may, we have this organisation, this council, saying that petrol and diesel prices must be increased to either reduce our journeys, get us off the road, and I don't do any unnecessary journeys, I can only just say that from my perspective, or to switch to electric. A bit of an uproar, apparently. The director of entertainment company Pleasure Boys has defended their acts following outrage as videos were shared from a recent show. This is in The Star. On Saturday, now, there's a picture accompanying this, and there is a fellow who is, well, he's wearing shoes, and that's about the height of it, and is carrying some woman on his shoulder. On Saturday, the troupe took the UK and Ireland Double X tour to the Devonish complex in the Finnahy area of West Belfast. Footage from the show has been shared extensively across social media, showing the performers involved in fully nude. They're fully nude and dancing with revelers. Other footage from the event showed the male dancers simulating certain acts with some women in the audience. The event was priced at £15 a skull and advertised as a Valentine's weekend special, with the Devonish describing it as a night filled with exciting thrills, perfect for a girl's night out. And the girls and the women seem to very much enjoy it. Cameras can be a bit of a curse, actually, but it certainly pulls back the curtain. What do you think? If the Double XL tour came to a town near you in Donegal, Derry, wherever it might be, would you go? Would you be opposed to it coming? Like, it's just kind of interesting where we are culturally now. Like, fellas all greased up. Actually, one of them wiped the oil off his body with a Union Jack. There doesn't seem to be much uproar about that, but anyway. But if Double XL were booked in Letterkenny, let's say, because it's the biggest population area in Donegal, would you go? Would you be opposed to it being there? If you were a fella, would you mind your girl going? If you're a girl, would you go and tell your fella that you were going bowling? Or would you be outright with it? Be just interested to get your views on it. Text us in, of course, anonymously. It's judge-free zone. Everyone there was fully grown adults. What do you think? 086 60 25,000. If someone booked Double XL for the fellas to grease themselves up and dance around in their shoes, would you go? Would you let your partner go? Would you tell your partner you were going? Would you protest outside the venue? Let us know. 086 60 25,000. Hey, who'd be an influencer? Some money in it. Irish tourism. And this, I'm not sure how effective it is, but I do know local authorities and tourism bodies in this country seem to put an awful lot of weight behind influencers. They're booked every which way. No harm to them, by the way. Influencers, they're people who are earning a living doing their work, but there's some money in it. And as I say, local authorities and tourism agencies seem to be particularly fond of them in this country. Tourism Ireland is set to spend up to €7.35 million promoting the country as a holiday destination through the use of social media and influencers. The agency has signed contracts with two companies for the provision of social media management, community management and influencer services. Thinkhouse has been engaged to implement Tourism Ireland's social media strategy and its day-to-day activities online. Derry's Metaverse Mod Squad UK Limited was awarded a contract to service manage and engage Tourism Ireland's global community using a range of channels. This also includes engagement on the agency Ireland.com community forum. 7.35 million they're going to be given to people to sort of post on their Instagram stories, to make TikToks going, oh, look, lovely Donegal, or lovely here, there, everywhere. Some money involved, isn't it? Isn't there? As I say, I don't begrudge it. I just thought it really an interesting figure. And finally, some positive news. And the mum of a little girl wounded in last year's Parnell Square stabbing attack says her little angel is almost over a recent setback in her recovery. The child, 5, was readmitted to intensive care late last month after a bump in the road to her healing. She was admitted to the ICU at Temple Street Children's Hospital following the knife attacks in Dublin on November 23rd, but was deemed well enough to leave before Christmas. And at the start of this year, the child entered the third phase of her recovery, and a medical team was very happy with her improvement before the unexpected setback in late January. Her family has been providing updates on her condition through a GoFundMe online page since last year. The fundraiser... Anyway, last Thursday, the mum said, "Hi, everyone. We are back on the ward and almost over this hump in the road," which is good news, isn't it? There is a person before the courts charged with that instance, someone with the stabbing instances. No further details can be discussed about that person at this time because it would be illegal because they are before the courts. Now, university lecturers are set to protest this afternoon over the government's failure to adhere to a national agreement on pay. The action is led by the Teachers Union of Ireland, which says 4,600 members in the technological university sector are unhappy with a regional variation when it comes to paying conditions. Joanne Irwin is Assistant General Secretary at the TUI and joins us on the programme now. Good morning to you, Joanne.
Good morning, Greg.
Thank you so much for joining us. So what kind of variations are we seeing? And I suppose where does the Northwest sit in this story?
Well, I suppose it's just to say at the onset that the background to this is in 2017, we agreed with government that we would move all of the institutes of technology to become technological universities, which we very much welcome. We see the benefit in Donegal, for example, of having two university campuses, both in Letterkenny and in Killybegs. Unfortunately, now the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform, who is supposed to pay the salaries of these people, are allowing variations in pay. So what they are saying is, okay, if you work in Technological University of Dublin, then you're going to be paid a higher rate of pay than if you work in the Munster Technological University in Cork or Kerry. And that's where it is currently at. So the Dublin and the Kerry and Cork have put forward proposals for what their staff will be paid. So it hasn't taken hold yet in relation to ATU in Letterkenny or ATU in Donegal. But I suppose we are having this protest today to say we don't want that happening. If you work in Letterkenny, you should be on the same pay in terms of conditions if you work in Dublin or if you work in Cork or wherever you may be. It is a sector, it's a university, and we want everybody to be treated differently. The implications of this we see as happening for students is that students will see that if they go to ATU in Letterkenny, they mightn't get the same standard of qualification than if they go to Dublin, which is not the case. It's not currently the case. They are all the same. But there will be that perception that, oh, well, if they're paid more up there, they must be getting a better qualification. But we don't want that happening, and we want everybody to be treated the same, irrespective of where they work.
What is the argument for paying people in Dublin more than they might in Letterkenny if that comes to pass?
Well, that's actually the point. We don't know. The Department of Further and Higher Education has not put forward an argument for that. We see no justification for that. We see no justification for someone in Galway being paid differently, for someone in Athlone being paid differently. If they are doing the same work, we always have had this mantra, equal pay for equal work. They're doing the exact same standard of work, the same quantum of students. Everything is exactly the same. So there is no rationale for this to happen, and we do not want it to happen, and we are protesting today at lunchtime. It is a protest, it's not industrial action, so there is no implications for students. You know, services students will continue today, but this we view as a first step. We have a ballot for industrial action. Our members voted 92% in favour last month to take industrial action, and that will be the next step after today if the Department of Further Higher Education does not engage with us in a meaningful way. I mean, we have an agreement going back to 2017, that we would be, you know, creating and establishing a sector, and that they would talk to us nationally about terms and conditions. But they have failed to do that, and the department has failed to do that. We are willing to go into those talks. We don't want to take industrial action, but if we have to, we will.
In terms of, you know, maybe some of the logic behind this, you know, you talk about each technological university being treated equally or seen equally. But do they not need to be able to have some variation, some independence in terms of remuneration, you know, given the fact that it might be more difficult to attract someone to live and work in Dublin, for an example, versus Letterkenny, given the increased costs of being based in the capital? So in a way, is it not leveling the playing field?
Well, it isn't really, because we have a technological university in Limerick. We have a technological university in Cork. They would say to us, it's just as difficult to get accommodation here. It's just as difficult. The rent is just as high here. The price of houses are just as high here. And I mean, the same applies to teachers, for example. If you work in Dublin or you work in Tory Island, you're paid the exact same amount of money. And that should be the case, because it's equal pay for equal work, irrespective of where you work.
And how does an escalation, what does it look like? Because the department, actually, I'll just ask you this question first and then we'll get to that. The department says that it is engaging with the TUI. That's what it's released to the media. Is that how you see it? Is the department continuing to engage with the TUI? You know, are there lines of communication open that could, you know, lead to a resolution? Do you see it as they see it?
Well, there's always lines of communication. The problem is that we've kind of lost faith in that lines of communications, because there is a national negotiating forum where we bring these issues to. That has been in existence since 2017, and nothing has happened for the last, 7 years. So you kind of lose faith in negotiations when you don't actually get any output for it. Now, that being said, we're absolutely willing. We'll go in tomorrow, we'll go in the next day, to have those talks, because at the end of the day, everything is resolved through dialogue, and that's what we want. You know, if that doesn't happen, we will escalate industrial action. We have made that very clear. Our executive committee has approved that. And that industrial action does include strike action if need be. So that will be the next thing that we will look at. If we don't get any, I suppose, meaningful discussions with the department following today's protest.
And I suppose what it kind of comes down to is the government is of the view that this is okay within the terms of the collective agreement, and the TUI believes it's not. So that's really the sticking point here, isn't it?
It is. And I mean, I don't know how the department could even say it, because it is very, very clear in the document that there would be meaningful negotiations in relation to anything to do with pay and conditions of employment would be done nationally for the sector. It will not be done locally. We balloted to create a sector, not to create individual silos where you have one TU competing with another TU. So we don't understand how the department would have that view when it is actually written in black and white in the document.
Okay, well, shall we see how things progress? The protest, as you say, it's not going to disrupt anything this evening, later today, sorry. It's outside, presumably outside Letterkenny, the TUI Letterkenny. How does it look? Is it not the TUI Letterkenny? I'm mixing up my... outside the LYIT. It's called LYIT now. My brain's right. It is LYIT. Okay, so the TUI outside LYIT. Okay, go ahead.
ATU Letterkenny and ATU Killybeg. So they both will be protesting today from 1 to 2. Yeah.
All right, I don't know what's happened to me. All right, Joanne, listen, thank you very much indeed. Joanne Irwin, I think it's all the capitalising of all these various... I've literally forgotten they changed the name. I'll be calling Letterkenny University Hospital Letterkenny General Hospital next. Okay. Anyway, it all became clear in the end. Greg, you should discuss the new hate speech laws that the government are trying to push through. They polled it, and as it stands, 70% of those opposed it. The wording is so vague that if I say I hate BMW drivers, they should drive properly. Boom, hate speech, jail and a fine. Well, it's not really quite like that, but this comes down to the referendum, you see. It's the same as the two referenda, taking place in March. It's how the conversation now on and in relation to those referenda and this new hate speech law, it's not necessarily about the law in and of itself or the changes to the constitution in and of itself. It's how they are interpreted, and therein lies the problem and the debate and the discussion. Okay, we go to a music fan now. Anne-Marie, good morning to you, Anne-Marie.
Morning, Greg. How's the form?
I'm doing all right, broadly okay. What about yourself?
Not too bad.
Okay, now let's talk about ticket pricing, dynamic ticket pricing. Now, this is a education to me because I don't really know the ins and outs of all of this. But you can talk us through the experience if you don't mind.
Well, yeah, well, listen, it was an experience for me too on Friday. It's the first time I had ever come across it. So I would go to, I've gone to a fair few gigs over the years. Like Ticketmaster have the kind of monopoly on selling the tickets. Most of 99% of my tickets I buy off Ticketmaster. But last Friday, ACDC's gigs went on sale and they were announced on Monday. And then tiny small wee writing at the bottom of the poster, the tickets were starting at $86.25 plus booking fee.
Wow.
But nobody knew where exactly in Croke Park that ticket was going to be for. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't know it's going to be on the pitch, it's going to be in a seat, where, you know, what your view was going to be or anything like that. So come Friday morning then, you had to go onto a queue in order to be able to get on to get a ticket. So I logged on at about 10 to 9, tickets were on sale at 9. I got into a queue and there's 8,500 in front of me.
Wow.
And then you went into a waiting room. And then, hey, that wasn't bad. 8,500 wasn't bad. But whenever I went into the waiting room, then it turned 9 o'clock. Then, you know, it just counted down every so often. The number dropped and dropped and dropped until eventually about 10 past 9 I got on. And I got my choice of tickets then. So I knew where I wanted to go. I wanted to get into the Gold Circle. I wanted up the front. So front standing tickets were $186.25 with the booking fee. So that's what I ended up paying for my ticket. That was fine. I knew it was going to be expensive and I had kind of budgeted for it anyway if they were coming with us grants. But I'm on some rock metal forums for the music that I listen to. And as the morning wore on, a lot of people were coming on them and saying, can't get over the price of tickets, like €350 for a ticket, €700 for two tickets. And I thought, where are they seeing these tickets at? Mm-hmm. And they were naming like the place where I got my ticket for. So I went back in just for the crack to see. And obviously, the tickets were selling out for certain sections. But then there was like platinum tickets and the Gold Circle tickets. The same ticket that I bought at 10 past 9 for $186.25. By, I think I took a screenshot about 1:15, had jumped to €440. On Ticketmaster, being sold by Ticketmaster. This wasn't a resale ticket. This was Ticketmaster touting their own tickets. So that was like, if you bought your ticket later than me, if you were unfortunate enough not to get into the queue as early as I did, you were going to pay €440 for the same ticket I paid €186 for. Yeah. 2.5 times.
So,
price.
But and they're definitely and not tickets that you. It's like, so say for instance, you couldn't have resold your ticket back to Ticketmaster and then they sell it at
a higher
price.
I still can't resell my ticket.
Okay.
Greg, I've gone on not for resale, as on my actual account.
So is it like a Ryanair flight
ticket.
Then? As the seats fill up, the price gets more
seems
expensive?
And as I say, this is the first time I've ever come across it. And it seems to be the more demand on certain sections, the more they drove the price up, because the price didn't stay static in the sense that it went from 186 then to 440. I've seen people put up on the forums €350 for a Gold Circle ticket. So it obviously was jumping in increments. That's what I could make of it from reading the comments until it eventually went to 440. Then it sold out. You know, maybe the tickets are all gone. You can't get a ticket now. But it still doesn't make sense to me as to how I could pay that and somebody next to me might have paid 2.5 times the price being sold by Ticketmaster. But then, you see, as like the hotel prices as well. You know, I was cute enough that I booked my hotel before the announcement because I kind of had an idea that this is what the announcement was going to be that last Monday morning. Mm-hmm. And I got my hotel for a price. But last Monday, as soon as they announced, that same hotel room only jumped €109.
Wowzers.
On top of the price that I paid. You know, so
just a concert premium, really, effectively.
In. Somebody's cashing in.
Well, they're all cashing
in,
it seems.
Like,
so,
they're all
so just in relation
money, but,
to the tickets,
I mean,
things, like, because this is... So, in advance, the only price that anyone knew there might be a ticket for was $86.25, is that correct? So, say, for instance...
Yes, that's
for instance, I had,
and it was a small writing at the bottom.
Yeah, so if I had €150 in my card, right? And I thought, okay, yeah. I can get a ticket here, 86.25.
Yeah.
The reality is by the time I'd got to the end of the queue, I couldn't have bought a ticket because I wouldn't have had the money in my...
Exactly.
So the price of the ticket was nothing as advertised.
You see, and that's the thing. And you were the other thing too. Like I could pull a thread in this, Greg, and talk all day about it from the comments that I was seeing from friends that I knew. You could buy up to 6 tickets. Now, some people were managing to get their 6 tickets, I'm assuming, together. But I know friends of mine, like mother, father, child, that wanted to go and couldn't get 3 tickets together. So they couldn't. And they were big fans, so they just left it.
Yeah.
And like they're not going to see them. And then other people were like, you're just saying there about the price. They had a budget for it, but by the time they got up to that part of the queue, then they couldn't afford the ticket. I mean, if you think about a couple going at €440 each, that's €880 for 2 tickets, not counting your hotel, getting there, or food. So for one night to go to that gig would be definitely over €1,000. Like it doesn't stand.
Yeah. Can I just read? Want to read something to you. This is now Fine Gael are in government at the moment. This is not having a go at Fine Gael, but yeah. I just want to read this. This is from the 20th of April 2021. New anti-ticket touting legislation will put an end to the price gouging of fans, Fine Gael Tidy has said. Deputy Emer Higgins was speaking after the Taoiseach Minister for the Enterprise, Trade and Employment, Leo Varadkar, received government approval to publish legislation which will ban ticket touting and the reselling of tickets above face value for large events. Deputy Higgins said, today the government has proposed a new bill that will regulate the sale of tickets in Ireland, building on Fine Gael's commitment to bring an end to the price gouging of fans. Now, this is not a criticism of Fine Gael, but they clearly need to update their legislation because ticket out or not out, a ticket advertised at 86.25 effectively eventually ends up going to over €400 when people are stuck in that moment thinking, yes, I'm in a queue. It's horrible what they're doing.
And like the thing about this, Greg, there probably was tickets there for 86.25, depending on where in the ground
it was.
Because I knew where I wanted. I wanted Gold Circle, so I was willing to pay. Wasn't willing to pay €440, but I was lucky I got the ticket at the price that I knew I was willing to pay. But if you were going in there with 86.25 or say €100 with your booking fee, and you went looking for that ticket, you might not have been able to get it in the sense that it could have sold out because a lot of people might have been stuck on that budget trying to get that ticket. But, I mean, there needs to be a regulator. The problem now is, see, because they put on that, well, the touting thing, obviously you don't want to buy a ticket off a tout because, for starters, you don't know if it's going to be genuine. But what happened there then is Ticketmaster now monopolised that market. So they do. You know,
and it's not just this concert. It was the same with Taylor Swift. It was the same with Pink.
Listen,
it's just you don't
Taylor
know what
Swift.
I
have a sister-in-law who wanted to go to Taylor Swift, big Taylor Swift fan, and she had to pre-register for her. So she did. She was number one. She got number one on the queue to pre-register. But when it came to actually getting a ticket to go on, then it didn't matter that she was number one in the queue because whether you were number one or last, it was a free-for-all the day the tickets went out.
And then there's these VIP packages and different names to make out that you're getting different things.
Yeah.
It's crazy, and, right? Okay.
That's it. And see, there's other things in, like, because we're an island, it costs bands more to come here. You know what I mean? And bring all their gear here and everything that goes with it and trying to put on a gig here. And obviously, I can kind of understand the whole thing behind minimum wage, and then you know you have to think of what it takes to put on a gig.
I get you, Emery, but is this money finding its way to the artist though? Like, do you think
that
ACDC are complicit in this? Because you know your argument would stand. Go ahead.
No, you see, and that's where I thought I'll start the conversation. Somebody might be able to tell us where this money is actually going, because what for the likes of us, we don't get big festivals over here. Like there's a group of fellas in Dublin called Irish Metalheads or Ireland's Metalheads, and they started with their own festival on Saturday night in Dublin on the Grand Social. Now these festivals all start small; they have to start somewhere. So they got local Irish bands, some great bands coming up through here for the music that I listen to, and got 5 of them into Dublin on Saturday night, put on a great a great night rock music for the people that were able to make it down there for like less than 20 quid for a ticket. And I like the between them and the band, whatever the band would have been due to get paid or whatever, or how it worked, I don't know. But when it comes to the bigger gigs and the bigger festivals, they don't bring them here. So it means then that people are looking overseas then to go.
Yeah, but what you will see with certain acts, and I suppose, I think it depends on them. Like you'll see, like Lewis Capaldi, I think played a Monday. Right, so that's like a bonus gig for him on Monday and Tuesday, and there's other bands that have as well. They can do that in between European tours. But is this happening, right, in a country? Is it happening in Malta, or is it happening in, you know, countries of similar size to ours, for an example? Like, the only way we can sort of start beating ourselves up is we can compare it to, you know, we can compare it to what's happening in Belgium. Well, I can't think of a country the same size. Scotland, you know what I mean? Like, are they being fleeced as well? But a caller says, Greg, if people are willing to pay the price for these concerts, more the fool them. But I don't think that really talks to the passion of a fan, the life experience, what that will mean to them. For some people, it's going to Disneyland. For others, it's to get up close and personal and see the white in the eyes of AC/DC. Yeah. So I wouldn't be judgmental in that regard, personally.
The thing about that then, Greg, is there's a catch-22 in that. And I get where that person's coming from and saying, no more fool you for paying it. But at the same time, if we as fans don't go to support them, then they're not going to come. Look, they're going to bypass Ireland altogether.
Amory, I don't think anyone should have to defend going. Listen, there's guys across this county have season tickets for €1,000 to go over and watch Manchester United, and they fly back and forward every other weekend. Paying green fees of to play golf, paying
everybody
fees of
has
anything
their,
to five
their
to 2,000.
Exactly.
So I get what I respect that listener, but listen, here's another thing too.
I respect their point
of course,
too.
Yeah. There was a controversy in America last year whereby, and I think it was either for Beyonce or maybe it was Taylor Swift, I can't remember, whereby there was tickets behind the stage for sale, right? If you couldn't get a ticket for AC/DC and there was seating behind the stage so you couldn't actually see them but could you hear them, and there were no other tickets available, Anne-Marie, would you have bought one of those tickets?
Jesus, I don't know, Greg. No, I don't know if I would. Be sure you could just listen to them in the car. Or you could stand outside Croke Park and listen to them.
Yeah, but apparently,
do you know what
these,
I mean?
These tickets are on sale in America. They're no site.
That's crazy.
Seats or
like,
something. Yeah, I know. Okay. Right. Yeah. So there's a couple of questions here. By the way, I'm quite interested in the dynamic ticket pricing. Is that a phrase that you've coined yourself, or is that sort of generally used?
It was being used on the forums. I mean, I used to say it was all new to me last Friday, and I just thought, there's something has to be done about this, because it's, you know, we don't want to see this coming in here for every big artist that comes. This is not about me and my rock music. This is about music fans, all genres. Like, I mean, Taylor Swift and Pink and Lewis Capaldi and whoever, you know. You don't want to see anybody getting fleeced.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean?
And I tell you, there's
a whole
other conversation about the hotels as well. But listen, you mentioned that. Thanks very much, Anne-Marie. We'll see if we can get any information.
No
take care.
At all.
Bye. Enjoy
thanks,
AC/DC.
Okay, bye. I will. Thank you, Rory. But you ain't got the gun.
The Irish government is set to announce substantial new funding for cross-border projects later. We're focusing on the cabinet expected in Dublin today to meet to approve plans which will include the restoration of the £400 million funding promise for the A5. Geraldine O'Neill rejoins us on the programme. And we appreciate your time this morning, Geraldine. Thank you so much for joining us. You, of course, lost someone very close to you on the A5 in 2008, Geraldine.
Yeah, good morning, Greg, and thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak. Yeah, on the 20th of March 2008, we lost our baby brother, Shane Caldwell. And it was a day that I'll never forget. It's a day, and I have to say, the raw emotion is as painful today as it was the day we got that phone call to say that Shane had had an accident just outside the Mellon Country Inn. He was 20 years old with his whole life to love, so much to give. He was a hard worker, bubbly, energetic. He was ambitious. He was driven. It was nearly like an entrepreneur kind of wee personality.
Yeah.
It was just wonderful. He was our baby brother. And I have to say, my heart aches now even speaking to you about it. When I got this call this morning to say that I was getting the opportunity to speak about it, I have to say I'm delighted to be able to air my views and to say that this day has been too long in coming.
And Geraldine, as well as just dealing with the raw emotion of the loss, of course, anniversaries are approaching now, and then there are other key dates in the year that bring it all home, though it never leaves. But worse than that still is the amount of people that have lost their lives or suffered incredibly serious injuries on this same stretch of road since. So every time we hear of a collision on the A5, the road's expected to be closed overnight. You know, it's another family that are entering into that cycle of heartbreak that you and your family are in. You know, and much of it avoidable if we had the political will and the drive to actually get this project across the road. Or across the line, I beg your pardon.
Yes,
sorry,
absolutely.
Geraldine.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. I mean, and there are all those people out there too that have had life-changing injuries who aren't statistics, who aren't talked about. I have to say, the amount of people... I was involved in the Enough is Enough campaign, which was driven by Tyrone GAA, and I attended the public inquiry. And I have to say, the amount of people that day, over those days in that room in OMA, it was the Stirl Arts Centre. It was heartbreaking. It was very moving. The support was overwhelming, and the emotion in that room. I mean, there wasn't standing room, let alone sitting room, in that room over the period of the public inquiry. And everybody there had their own story to tell. Everybody had their own heartbreak. I admire people like Kate Corrigan, who lost her son Nathan. She was one of the real driving forces of that campaign. And it's credit to people like that, you know, who have come out and just campaigned tirelessly for this. And it's a credit, an absolute credit to Tyrone GAA for what they did. I mean, the public inquiry was something else I'd like to support.
And I think really what where we find ourselves now, thanks to everything you've mentioned there, is that the public will no longer accept any delays to this. I do read still some opposing it, and it comes down to losing acreage of land and what have you. And I understand that, but there's priorities here, and the priority here is people be able to move around the place with a degree of safety. So between the public will and the funding now, there seems to be increased optimism that this is now going to happen this time. And I think it has to happen, doesn't it, Geraldine?
I think it has to happen. I mean, we haven't seen the Commissioner's report yet. It hasn't been published yet, but it obviously has to be favourable when we're at this stage. And like, it's up to Minister now, John O'Dowd. I mean, he's the Minister for Infrastructure, so it's up to him to get his hands on that Commissioner's report and push forward with it. It needs to happen, and it needs to happen sooner rather than later. And I would just also like to speak to you just on the aspect of the losing of land. We are homeowners, landowners on the A5. We stand to lose land.
Mm-hmm.
And no amount of land is the price that losing land. It is not comparable to the loss of life. Absolutely not. I mean, the number of young people, not even young people, just the number of people generally that have lost life on the A5, you know, land can be replaced. We'll just be delighted to see the A5 happen, regardless of the fact that we will lose land. I mean, we access the A5 every day. If I need a loaf of bread, I've got to access the A5. One of my girls is in university in Belfast. She drives the A5 up as far as Ballygawley. When she's heading up to Belfast, and you know, even that journey, you just worry until she gets there that she makes the journey, because there have been so many stories of accidents on the route.
So
we're absolutely delighted that we're at this stage, and yes, it absolutely must happen, and it must happen as soon as possible. We need to keep the shoulder to the wheel and get this road built.
All right, Geraldine. Listen, I've said this to you before, I think, but I'll say it again. You know, when this happens, and it has to happen now, it's going to be too late for you. In terms of, nothing will bring Shane back. I just think it's amazing that you're using your voice and Shane's memory to campaign and try and avoid as much as possible this happening to anyone else. And I just think that's really remarkable and something you, and I'm sure Shane looking down on you, would be incredibly proud of today.
Yeah, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to speak, Greg. Thank you.
Take care of yourself. That's Geraldine O'Neill, her baby brother Shane, killed on that road, the A5, in 2008. A lot of people will believe it when we see it, but look, the public are not going to accept any further delays, clearly. The money is going to be announced today. It should be there. It should go ahead. And I get it that some people feel their land's being cut up or they're losing some land, but at what price can... I mean, we're just seeing tragedy after tragedy on that road. Okay, some comments on some other things as we move towards the news at 10 o'clock. Ticketmaster, says this listener, must only be offering higher priced tickets at the start so people are keen to pay it, thinking they might miss out. All tickets should be priced capped. I believe Coldplay sold tickets for €25. I wonder how many got these. All tickets are available on third party sites for higher prices. Well, you see, it is about, you could say, like you will see in shops where they'll say, you know, vacuum cleaners, certain vacuum cleaner from €50, and they might have five of them at €50 and 100 of them at €200. Look, that happens. I think that's what happened kind of with Ticketmaster and other bands, whereby there's a certain amount of tickets with pre-registering and fan clubs and all that kind of stuff. But the reality is, for the majority, you end up paying through the teeth. There's so much stuff here. I don't want to start a long one before the news. Greg, good morning, Greg. Nationwide was good last night about Ukrainian families living in Ireland, some sharing with Irish families. Brilliant, smart young ones and mums teaching in schools. Be a great addition to this country if they stay. Part one and two on Wednesday and Friday. That comes in from Danny. Thank you. Hi, Greg. Can you ask your listeners if anyone has received calls from a person saying they'd missed call from my number, all different numbers that called. I didn't call anyone. Thanks. Now, there's a couple of things could be going on there. A, your number could be cloned, because they're cloning numbers and it's random. So maybe they've cloned your number and used it to dial people and they're ringing you back. I would say that's most likely what it is, because, as I say, they randomise the numbers that they cloned to cover up their international numbers. I would guess that your number by coincidence has been cloned and people are returning the missed call to that number. They're ringing back the scammers, but they're actually getting through to you. If I were to guess what it was, I think that's what it is.